Thank you, Jeff. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7 that Sam read for us a few moments ago. Matthew chapter 7. I'd like us to begin with this text. Near the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, our Lord says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." Many years ago, when I first began preaching, I had no idea that I was just beginning my work at a time in which a controversy was beginning to brew among brethren over the teachings of a highly respected man. As time would go on, this unfortunately would lead to a separation and alienation between brethren that once were very close to one another. This man's teaching to some was viewed as very dangerous, and they saw and understood his work to be that he was a dangerous false teacher. Others considered him to be a wise pioneer that had figured out some things that perhaps others had not. And still another group, I think, understood him to be mistaken about some particular issues, but they didn't believe that he was worthy to be marked as a false teacher. As time would go on, when some additional teachings that this man began to believe and teach became public, some of those in that latter group would eventually come as well to view him as a false teacher. Sadly, this particular scenario has been repeated time and time again since the church was established in church history. Now, names will change, and the personalities that are behind various controversies will change. The scope and the impact of those particular problems and controversies will differ, and the issues that are involved will change. But from the text that we began with, our Lord warns us to beware. And I'd like us to think a little bit about that this morning, to think about this warning to beware of false prophets. And I think the first thing that we need to think about is the fact that there simply will be those that must be recognized to be teaching that which is false. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. And I'd like us to notice in 2 Peter chapter 2 that we will be looking at before too long in our adult Sunday morning class. 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, the text says, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber." Notice, this is not just a remote possibility. This is not just something that might happen to isolated Christians. Notice, there will be. We see in the wording we began with in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, "who come to you." This will be something that Christians face. In this text, they will exploit you. We can't imagine that this won't be something that is a common problem. In fact, I think it's clear from what Scripture teaches as a whole that it's not simply going to be isolated kinds of situations. I think the Bible makes it very clear that there will be many who will rise up and will teach that which is false. Go to 1 John chapter 4 with me for a moment. 1 John chapter 4. And let's listen to what the Holy Spirit tells us through the Apostle John about the caution we need to demonstrate. Beginning in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, But test the spirits whether they are of God. Because, notice this, many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Go with me to Matthew chapter 7 again. And I want us to look at a text immediately after the one that we began with there in Matthew chapter 7, where we have this warning about false prophets. Notice it'll go on to say in the very next verses. And often we've not really thought much about how this follows right up with what was said about false prophets. But listen, verse 21 of Matthew chapter 7 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Now this text, I wouldn't argue that it's exclusively talking about those that are teachers or those that are false prophets, but it certainly would be inclusive of that, would it not? There will be those that would imagine that what they're doing and teaching is right, but here the Lord declares that many will say that when they're not right. We noticed in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 that many will follow. So not only are there going to be many that will teach those things that are false, but there will be many that will follow. We must test and we must guard against new and strange doctrines in spite of the rise in popularity that they may have. But I want us to notice something, and this goes back to what was said in Matthew chapter 7. But I want us to go to Romans chapter 16 and notice it's put just a little different, and then we'll comment on its correlation to Matthew chapter 7. Go to Romans chapter 16, and let's look together at verses 17 and 18. The Apostle Paul says, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And notice, by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple." Notice here, smooth words, flattering speech. That's not going to seem like a threat, is it? It's not going to seem like it's something dangerous. That's the very idea that Jesus mentioned in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, that these will come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. This idea in Mark chapter 16 is not the first time we'll see this idea taught in Scripture. Go with me to the book of Isaiah. And in Isaiah, let's look together in Isaiah chapter 30. In the time of Isaiah, I want you to notice this attitude that was prevalent among the Jews of Isaiah's day. They wanted to hear those things that sounded good. They wanted to hear those things that didn't sound threatening. Notice Isaiah chapter 30, begin in verse 8. "Now go, write it before them on a tablet and note it on a scroll, that it may be for a time to come, forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord." Listen to this. "Who say to the seers, 'Do not see,' and to the prophets, 'Do not prophesy to us right things, speak to us,'" and here's the wording of Paul in chapter 16, "'speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceits, get out of the way, turn aside from the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us.'" I think this ought to help us to understand in our Lord's wording in Matthew 7, in Paul's wording here in Romans 16, that sometimes what appears innocent and tame can actually be spiritually deadly. In fact, I think we need to understand that Scripture will warn that those that will teach these false things, they will teach things that sound good. Look with me over in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And let's look together in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's look at verses 20 and 21. Paul, writing to the evangelist Timothy, says, "O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and vain and idle babblings and contradictions," listen, "of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be to you. Amen." I find it interesting here because knowledge is good, isn't it? But notice Paul here says that this is falsely called knowledge. Over in the second letter that he writes to Timothy, look in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And let's notice the first five verses, because here we'll see that there are going to be those times in which people want to hear what they think is right, what they want to hear. And, you know, it's interesting because you're going to see that no matter what it is, there will be those that will find somebody that will tell them that that's right. Well, the Holy Spirit warned us about that. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, it says, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching." Notice there, the work of preaching involves various things: encouragement, but also the hard rebuke and exhortation here. Notice verse 3. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry." Just because some message sounds good doesn't make it the truth. Another thing I'd like us to notice that we saw in one of our readings, and let's look at Acts chapter 20, which illustrates this to some extent, is that often those that are false teachers will act in secret. Over in Acts chapter 20, we see Paul, when he goes to the elders in Ephesus and he meets them in the city of Miletus. In Acts chapter 20, begin with me in verse 28, and let's go down to verse 31. And notice a danger that he brings to their attention. There would be, even among them, those that would rise up. Now, it wasn't evident. They couldn't identify him ahead of time, but notice what he warns them. Acts chapter 20, beginning verse 28. "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." The very wording of Jesus, the wolves in sheep's clothing. Here, savage wolves will come in, not sparing the flock. Verse 30. "Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, night and day, with tears." Do you remember the wording that we saw in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1? We are warned there in that text that says there will be false teachers. We're warned that they will secretly bring in destructive heresies. I was listening online to a message that a preacher was giving the other day, and he was coming to a point where he was about to say something that he knew would be controversial. And he made the statement, he said, "Okay, that for any of those preachers who are secretly listening." And I kind of thought twice about that. This is a public message that's being given. Does this particular individual not want analysis? Does this person not want scrutiny? You know, there will be times in which, you know, they're going to have a study perhaps, but elders, preachers, deacons, other teachers won't be encouraged to come to that because this is something that's secret. I fear, if you look with me over in John chapter 3, our Lord talks about this tendency. It's true of sin in general. But in John chapter 3, I want you to notice, why is it that we may not want something to be known publicly? Why is it that we don't just lay all the cards out about what is taught and what is believed? Well, listen to what Jesus says. John chapter 3, beginning of verse 20. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. I think as we think about this danger of that which is done in secret, we need to avoid those that would hide their teaching. If they're not willing to tell you everything that they believe, if they're not willing to have the scrutiny of others to test what's said, we need to avoid that. But I think we also, and we've seen this from several passages, we need to recognize that false prophets will lead people to stray from the faith. Look at me over in Titus chapter 1. In Titus chapter 1. And in this particular section, after, as we are probably all very familiar, in the first section of Titus, laying down qualifications for elders, I want you to notice, my Bible will actually have a heading before it that says the elder's task. Well, let's listen to what it says here, beginning of verse 10. For there are many insubordinate. That is, they're not following the law of God. They're not demonstrating the respect to the leadership God has put in place as they ought to. There are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision. Listen, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. You remember what we noticed in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 21 there when it spoke of this which is falsely called knowledge? There it described it as something that they have strayed concerning the faith. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I want you to notice a very similar idea that's mentioned there. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, and let's look together at verses 15 through 18. We're probably very familiar with the first part of this. We look to it quite often, talking about how we as Christians need to rightly divide the word of truth. Let's notice some things that are said after this. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread, notice, like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying the resurrection is already past. And they, notice, overthrow the faith of some. Here, those that it's described as a cancer would, in this example, argue that the resurrection had already passed, are said to overthrow the faith of some. This wording we saw in Titus 1, verse 11, they subvert whole households. They will lead people astray. Well, that leads us to the difficult aspect, and that is, how do you identify when one is a false teacher? I mentioned at the beginning the challenge that took place among our brethren when I first began preaching about, well, is this person a false teacher? Is he not a false teacher? I want us to look at a text in which the Apostle Paul addresses something. And I think something that we're going to see from what he says here is it's not really something that's just determined based upon popularity. You know, if someone is more popular than another, does that mean that the popular person is a false teacher? Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, and let's look at verses 15 through 18. Paul says, some indeed preach Christ, even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. Brethren, the Apostle Paul is amazing. I wish sometimes that we could see how he would respond and handle modern kinds of situations. And what I mean by that is, you know, we've seen within the last couple of decades how as social media and the internet and things such as that are coming to be used for teaching, there are some challenges that that has presented, especially to the ego or self-esteem of gospel preachers. You know, if you're familiar with things like Facebook or something like that, everything that's posted, if a sermon is posted, if an article is posted, you'll have a little thumb that you can hit like on that. And you know, it's very encouraging as a gospel preacher if somebody reads that or looks at it or maybe just sees the title of it and likes it. But you know, the drawback with that too is you can also see what other Christians that you know like, and when, well, why didn't they like mine? They like this. Why didn't they like mine? Now, should it be that the preacher that posts something should conclude, well, this person's a false teacher because many like those things? No. Paul's amazing. Because notice here, in this particular text, even when it is a situation where some are trying to hurt him, where some are preaching for the wrong motive, what does he care about? He's grateful that the truth is being taught. Some may teach truth in spite of their own personal shortcomings. And we're not talking about that as a way to identify, well, this is a false teacher. If they're teaching truth, that's the issue. But remember Romans chapter 16, verse 17, warned about some that would cause division, some that would tear down God's people, some that would teach doctrine contrary to what has been revealed. You know, some will teach enough truth mixed with error that it becomes very, very difficult to determine, well, are they a false teacher? So much of what they say appears to be good. I think what we need to recognize is what determines if someone is a false teacher is if they are teaching things that are not what the Word of God teaches. Last text I'd like us to turn to. Go with me to 2 John, the small book of 2 John, and let's start in verse 9, and we'll go down to verse 11. John, through the Holy Spirit, writes, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds." Notice that warning. And it gives me chills, brethren, because as we think about those that we work with, as we think about those that we associate with, as we think about those that we try to influence, may it never be that in that effort we become guilty of sharing in promoting error. What is it that determines if one is a false teacher? They are teaching that which is contrary to the doctrine, Romans 16, verse 17. That text tells us to note those who cause divisions and to avoid them. Remember Titus chapter 1, verse 11, in speaking of the work that elders are to carry out, whose mouths are to be stopped. These are important issues. The truth of God is the offer of salvation that's made available. And it is important that we adhere to that. We accept only that. We don't accept a perversion of it. We don't accept that which is a weakened down form of it, because it is the plan of God unto salvation. May it be that this congregation always stand firmly for the truth. May it be that we never share in the promoting of error. May it be that we love God and His Word enough that we have the courage to beware of false teachers. If you're here this morning and you've never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, that truth of God that leads to salvation is a beautiful message. It is a message of hope. It is a message that we delight in, that we cling to. Would you not this morning put your faith in Jesus as the Son of God? Confess that faith before men. Repent of sin that separates you from God, and be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. If we can help you, won't you come? Always stand.